We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, welcome on into the Aggies All the Way podcast. I'm Jaden Johnson, and today I get to chat with Rachel Brewster. Rachel is one of the all-time great women's basketball players at Utah State. She finished her career number 2 in career games played, number 4 in all-time scoring, and in the top 10 for career rebounds, steals, three-point field goals, and free throw percentage. Rachel, it's good to see you. How have you been?
Really good. It's good to see you too. Yeah, been awesome.
So you're back home now. You're back in Australia playing professionally. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to talk about your time at Utah State and get into that. But let's talk a little bit about what you've been up to for the last couple of years.
Yeah. So it's crazy when you say couple of years. I forget, like.
Right. It's been about that, right?
It's been over 18 months. It was a year in May. So yeah, it's closer to 2 years, which is crazy. But I just came home and I went straight into a season it's called NBL One, is the league that I came into. And I just came back to the club that I was playing at before I came over to college. But it's a semi-professional league that runs like across the whole country now. It used to be called Siebel, and it was just like a local competition, but now it's turning into nationwide, which is really, really cool. So it's basically just a league that, like, all the national team players, if they want to play in their off season, they'll come and play in this league. And then just anyone else that wants to play like a super high level. So I came in and played that. And then I got a development player position at the Deakin Melbourne Boomers, which is one of the two National League teams here in Melbourne. So that was really, really cool because I got to I got to like pretty much suit up for every game. I got on the court a couple of times, and it was just like a really good learning experience initially because I was playing with like Olympians and WNBA players and stuff. So that was what my last year looked like. And then I was basically just supposed to do the same thing over again, but then COVID happened. So our NBL one season got cancelled. And then, like I was just saying before, our WNBL season, they're in the works right now to try and get that going. So, yeah.
So the NBL one serves as like a developmental league. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is a little bit, but it's, I don't know, it's a lot different to like over in the States. We just have, we have lots of different leagues that you can play in, and there's no age limit to what you can play in. So, if you're like a junior coming up, so we have girls playing on our team that are like 16 and they're in like the junior national programs and stuff, and they'll play with us just to get a bit of experience. And like you said, it's a bit of a developmental thing for them. But then for like the older players, it's just whoever still wants to play at a really high level, and it's not as intense as like the national league. And then like the players that, you know, play overseas or play in the national league that just want to get some games in the off season, then they'll join in as well.
So how's your first year and a half gone playing professionally?
It's been really cool. Yeah, it's been great. When I came back, it was like a massive step up from what college was, because I'm playing against girls, and like there's girls on my team that have been playing WNBL and WNBA for like 10 years,
right?
And they're veterans, and so yes, it's cool to get used to that level, but I've really, really enjoyed it. I love like my teams over here. It's super fun and like relaxed, and yeah, so it's gone really well. I haven't like played that much and all that kind of stuff, but I've really been enjoying what I'm doing, so it's been good.
So you mentioned that the NBL one season was canceled. I have to imagine, and that was because of COVID, I have to imagine that was pretty devastating for you and for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was. It's something that we all look forward to. Like there's, you know, girls on my team, we all get along so well, and we kind of break off over summer and do our own thing, and then we all look forward to coming back for that season, and so we didn't get that opportunity. And then for me, I was, you know, I had all these plans and was like talking to my coaches, and I did the development player thing with Boomers in hopes that I would go into the NBL one season and have a really, really successful, really good season. And then that would set me up to get a contract with a WNBL team, whether that was still with Boomers, which was ideal for me, or with a different team. And so I didn't get that opportunity to go and play in the NBL one to get exposure for the WNBL. So that was really tough because I had kind of just knocked out the last 6 months of work that I'd put in. But now I'm going to get a chance to play with the Boomers anyway. So it's kind of worked out in the end.
So what's your schedule like right now? I imagine you're preparing for the season. I think you said it starts in November, correct?
Yeah, it's looking like that now. We weren't sure for a while if it was going to happen this year or next year, but yeah, hoping, it's still not confirmed, but yeah, hoping that it'll happen sometime later this year. So right now we're still in stage 4 lockdown, in Melbourne where I live. So, we're training 3 days a week for basketball, which is, like we're super lucky because no one else is allowed to do that in Victoria right now. So, yeah, we're only training 3 days a week for basketball and then just 2 weight sessions. So it's pretty light right now. But next week, hoping preseason's going to start. But yeah, it's super light because everyone else, we have like permits so that we can go and train. We had to get government exemption, and everyone else, like my family, they're not allowed to leave the house for more than 2 hours for exercise. Wow. Wow. Yeah, only... Well,
and they're in Melbourne as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just living with my family right now. But yeah, it was like only one person can go shopping per day.
Wow.
Mandatory masks, like, and it's not like our cases aren't even that bad. So it's a little bit, frustrating, but we're coming out the end of it now, hopefully.
Well, I know that Utah State legend Ty Wesley was in the, mm-hmm. in the men's counterpart of the WNBL, NBL.
Yeah.
Did you ever really bump shoulders with him at all?
Yeah, so he was with the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, and they actually train at the same stadium as us.
Oh, okay.
So we were like across the hallway from each other pretty much every day. So yeah, I got to see him a fair bit, which is really cool. It was just like, I don't know, it was weird because yeah, I would help him out with like his summer camps and stuff when I was in Logan. And so it was just weird to come home and like he was there. So that was pretty cool. We didn't like interact too much, but he was really close with, cause he played in New Zealand as well. And we had a few New Zealand players on our team. So he was close with them. He actually lived in the same like apartment complex as them. So, it was cool to just like be in the same area.
He was kind of a big name down there, wasn't he?
Massive. Yeah. He had such a good career in the NBL. It was sad that, he retired. It would have been cool to see him come back, but, you know, COVID's done and his family's super important to him. So, yeah, but he did a really, really good job. He was massive for them.
That's awesome. So it seems like every year we see more and more Australian players coming into the NBA, coming to play college basketball in the States. Is basketball the biggest sport down there?
It's one of the biggest. I think we have like Australian rules football, and so that's been probably the number one sport in Australia for a while, and now that we have like a national women's team as well. So it used to just be like a guys sport, but now we have the women's national league, so there's more girls that are kind of moving over to, like, they'll stop playing netball and stop playing basketball and they'll move over to football. So that's still massive. And then soccer is pretty big as well. But yeah, I would say basketball is one of the top sports for sure. Just because it's so inclusive over here and there's so many like levels that you can play at over here.
Well, I know when it was your senior day, your family was in town. They came to Logan and your parents brought me a very nice Richmond Tigers for the Australian Football League. So I got to let you know, I represent the Richmond Tigers in the winters in Cache Valley.
Amazing. Yeah, they're so good. They're going to win another premiership this season.
Yeah, so they did really well last year, huh?
Yeah.
So what was, you talked about it just a little bit, but what was the jump like going from college to playing with, you know, really some of the best women's basketball players in the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was tough because, like, when you're in college, you know, there's a few – you play against teams and there'll be, like, two or three players that are, like, insanely good and you kind of just have to shut down those players and everything's fine. Whereas in this league, like, every single player is dangerous and so you can't – there's no rest. So you have to just constantly, like, the mental side of it and the focus – was probably harder than like the physical jump for sure. It was just having like trying to increase my IQ and my court awareness and all that kind of stuff. And that's something I'm still definitely working on. But yeah, that was probably the hardest thing that I had to do stepping up because like I said, these girls have been playing for years over in Europe, in the WNBA, in the WNBL. And a lot of them have been playing, like some of them came into the WNBL when they were 16 years old. So they've just been playing at this level forever. So yeah, it was tough, but I've learned a lot. So it's been really, really good.
So what was the signing process like when you were wrapping up your Utah State career and looking at playing at the next level. I mean, was it a pretty natural decision to just to go back home and be able to go play in Australia? Were you looking at other places as well, or what was that that time like for you?
Yeah, it was pretty easy. I mean, eventually, like, it's always been a goal of mine to play in Europe, but there wasn't, like, none of those opportunities really came up. I didn't have an agent or anything. So I was just like, yeah, I'll just come home and start from there. I know that over here I had a spot in a team and it was a really, really good league and it was with a coach that I love and players that I love. And then I was going to get eventually, I didn't know when I came home that I was going to get an opportunity in the WNBL, but that was the goal. And yeah, so it was just easy to come home because I knew that I'd be playing high level basketball and I wouldn't have to worry about living in another country and where am I going to live and how am I going to eat and all that kind of stuff. So
I know that eventually after you got here, there were a few other Australian players and there kind of became this Australian culture on the Utah State women's team with Coach Finkbeiner. And you had plenty of teammates from Australia, but you were kind of one of the first. What was it that influenced you to come and play in Logan?
Well, Funda was there when I decided to commit to Utah State. And that was one of the big reasons why, just because it was sort of the same as why the other girls committed when I was there. It was just having like familiarity.
Sure.
There, I'd never played with Funda, but I knew that she was like a really, really good player. And unfortunately, she didn't stay. But I was pretty late in the recruiting process and Utah State was my only Division I offer.
I gotcha.
But that made the decision kind of easy. But you know, when I met the coaches and I mean, I came over to Utah State, I hadn't had a visit. I had no idea what I was getting into, but it ended up being a pretty good decision. I'm not mad about it. So it worked out well.
Well, I know that this is a really broad question, but I mean, how would you describe your Utah State career? What was it like for you playing in Logan?
Oh, it was, that is a good question. I would say, I'm going to say challenging, but like in such a good way, because I started off, you know, I came as a freshman and I was playing heaps of minutes and it was like we were just building up the program again. So it was very challenging but very rewarding. I learned a lot about myself and I just loved the Aggie culture and all the support that we had. But, you know, we never quite got where we thought that we should have been, you know. Like, I think that we had the personnel and the team to win a Mountain West championship and we never quite got there, but you know, we had a lot of fun along the way and we, you know, had big games against Boise and Colorado State and those are like the games that I'll remember forever. So yeah, I don't know, that's a tough question.
Well, I was gonna ask, I mean, you played 126 games, which is just crazy. I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that's second in Utah State history. You started 116. That's, I mean, not many players are ever going to get to that mark. Were there any, you know, any particular wins that stand out in your mind?
Yeah, definitely. The Boise State win home. That was massive. We beat Colorado State the same season at home, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not.
it
gets a bit blurry.
Well, yeah, I believe it might have been the year before. I can't remember. They all blend together.
Sophomore year or junior year. Those two games stand out to me because at the time it was kind of just like, oh, you know, like, yeah, we might beat them. If we play our very best, you know, we could beat them. And then we came in and played such a great game. And, you know, after that game, like, I was just super confident that, like, the rest of the season was going to be so, like, we were just going to, you know, beat everyone and win the Mountain West Championship. And like, it was just such a great feeling playing those games. And I think that same year, it was the year before, we played at Boise and we lost to them on the buzzer, and that sucked. And so it was really good to beat them at home.
I remember that one.
Yeah, that was rough. I think I had the last shot and it just bounced over the ring. Because, yeah. I don't think, what other games? I remember our Oregon State game in Maui. And even though we ended up losing by like 40, but I think that was one of the best games that we'd played together for a while. And obviously the Oregon game, again, we went down by 30, but just to be able to play against those teams and kind of see like where we were at compared to them, those were cool experiences.
No question. Do you miss the Cache Valley winter yet?
not the winter. I miss Cache Valley. I definitely do. You know, this time it's funny with the way the seasons work. You know, I'm seeing all the pictures of Logan Canyon in the fall and it's still, you know, 30, 40 degrees here. Like, it's still kind of cold. And so, you know, I see everyone that's over there that I still follow, you know, it's summer and they're at Porcupine, and then there's people down in Lake Powell, and I'm sitting here and it's raining outside, and that kind of sucks when I see that. But no, I don't miss the winter at all. I was thinking about 2 weeks.
That's fair. So I know that not a lot of, I mean, really, you look at your last team at Utah State and there's barely any of the players left from that team. There's a whole new coaching staff. Have you been able to keep up with the team very much at all?
Yeah, I talk to the girls every now and then, just asking how things are going. I haven't really spoken to anyone since the new coaches came in. I talked to Haley quite a bit, especially now that she's moving overseas. Mm-hmm. Well, she has moved overseas. But yeah, no, I haven't spoken to any of the girls since. I mean, really just since all the COVID's happened, I've checked in a couple of times just to see how things are and when when the season got cancelled and all that kind of stuff. But no, I haven't actually spoken to anyone as often as I would like to.
Well, it's an exciting time, I think, for the program, just kind of looking at almost a blank slate, you know, a lot of new players, a whole new coaching staff. It'll be interesting to see how that goes for them this season.
Yeah, for sure. I watch all of the videos that they post, that the program posts on their Instagram page. I watch all those videos and it looks really good. It looks like a nice culture, and Coach Ard, like, she's got so much energy and she's really getting around all the girls, and I like what I'm seeing. I think it's really, really good for the program.
Well, Rachel, thanks for taking some time to come on. I know that Aggie Nation's proud of you and they're looking forward to watching what you can do this upcoming season in the WNBL. So thanks for your time.
That's okay. Thanks for having me.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.